Mum As You Are is a place for self-compassionate reflection, to use what you have within you right now, as you are, perfectly imperfect, to find your way through motherhood. I'm Dr. Erin Bauer, clinical and perinatal psychologist, author of More Than a Healthy Baby, course creator, and mum of two. This is my second podcast. Welcome if you've followed me over from my birth trauma work. This current podcast offering is bite-sized, unfancy, and unplanned. A roadmap for finding your way back to self-compassion and how to replace numbing and escapism with true, meaningful fun. I talk about motherhood as an identity and an institution, perinatal mental health and patriarchy, parental burnout and numbing. The core message is to practice the question, I wonder. Instead of judging ourselves and engaging in comparisonitis, we simply ask ourselves, I wonder. I wonder. It's a bit of a funny one this week. I want to talk about the struggle. of finding time to yourself and then feeling like you're not really doing your alone time properly, which is an experience I keep having despite, I think, this like real desire to find fun. And it's something I talk about in Social Media Detox for Mums, my second book, a lot, this idea that we've settled as mothers for kind of like numbing and like maybe what you'd call that one star experience fun, like scrolling, binge watching, you know, looking at other people's photos instead of planning your own holiday, or worse, looking at pictures of your own kids when you're away from them. So many people do this. It's, you know, one of the joys of being a therapist is that you get to hear all about people's secrets, which can be very affirming for yourself and for other people when you find out, other people do this too. So, you know, there's moments where you anticipate having time alone, and maybe it's only like an hour, okay? So it's not long, and you fantasize about what you could do. Will you get a massage? Will you read a book? See a friend? Whatever. And so many of us end up just not doing any of that. The moment comes, and then it's like, oh, is this excitement or is this anxiety? Am I feeling calm and chilled out, or am I actually kind of just feeling frozen and numb? And then somehow you can't think of a single thing that you want to do, but instead you start filling space with thoughts. Oh, I'll just go online for a bit. Oh, maybe I should fold some laundry, you know, that kind of stuff. And then you end up all frustrated and angry at yourself for not doing alone time properly. It's hard. You know, last month I turned 40, and rather than having a party or doing anything that other people might consider exciting, I really just wanted to be alone. My poor old hairdresser, she's not old. She was like 20, so she's not a poor old hairdresser at all. But she's very, very confused, shall we say, about me saying, yeah, I'm just going to check into a hotel and spend some time alone. And she's like, what? You don't want to go out for dinner? You're not having a party? I'm like, no. I want 24 hours to myself where I don't have to talk to anyone and take care of anyone else's needs, right? So I did that. I booked myself into a hotel. And as soon as the moment came, like, I'd been looking forward to this for months. And then, yeah, as soon as the moment came, I felt anxious and distracted. So, you know, I did the things that I thought I would do to help me wind down, all the things I wish I could do when I'm mid-tantrum with kids, like take a bath, read a book, you know. But instead, I just ended up in this sort of, I don't know, place of thinking, oh, this is a waste of time, I'm not doing it properly. At one point, I even texted my husband and said, oh, should I just bring the kids in? I mean, he didn't, but all these past parts of myself, I've talked about the parts idea before, it comes from IFS therapy, which is getting really popular. I'm not trained in it or anything, I'm just curious about this idea of looking at different parts of yourself, like the parts of yourself usually that are some sort of shadow yuck you don't want people to know about. So the parts of my past, and there was some from the future, like anticipatory future. I don't know if that's a thing, but I'll explain it. One was, me mid-lockdown 2021 just wanting to punch me in this moment now, because I would have given anything to just have a night away from my kids, even an hour away from my kids. Jeez. The 17-year-old in me, he'd been dropped off at college, left alone, seeing how everyone else was so excited and having so much fun, and I was just sitting in my room alone, terrified, wondering why this wasn't any fun. And then another part that showed up for me was like I call it an anticipated future self. Because sometimes a part that shows up for me is this idea of being, like a senior citizen, and your kids are grown, and your husband's not with you anymore, and you're all alone, and coping with that, I suppose. And this older version of me showing up, just like having pity for me, kind of being like, well, if you can't handle a night alone by yourself now, how are you going to cope, when you're an old lady? So I don't know. I think sometimes we assume that when we give ourselves what we need, which is, I did need this, like rest and time alone should be really restorative. But we sometimes assume or have these expectations that it will be pleasurable. I can tell you that therapy is not pleasurable for most people. Like, sleep's boring. Like, self-care recommendations, sleep is quite boring. Rest and being alone with your thoughts, it's good for us. That's how we process things. That's how we manage big feelings. And yet we avoid it often because it doesn't feel fun. It feels, unpleasant and painful. And we generally do things to avoid things that feel unpleasant and painful. Hence, we get on our phone and scroll or do something to distract ourselves. So yeah, I'm not alone in the fact with that I found, some pretty low reward leisure activities, you could call them, that you don't really love, but you do them partially because you haven't really cultivated a fun practice, I suppose. That is, it's something that you really truly enjoy that's 5 stars, that is still accessible, affordable, practical, but it's still a bit of a stretch because sometimes, you can just feel like everything is just too much effort and it's too much planning and you don't want to plan and you don't want to put effort in. So it's interesting though, because I think of this quote from Twyla Tharp. Her name is, she's a dancer, and she said that solitude without purpose is the killer of creativity. And that's so true. If you don't have a plan for something that's just enough of a stretch, like enjoyable but challenging enough, something that's gonna not immediately necessarily give you that dopamine hit, but something that you're gonna have to work on. That's why, things like having a hobby, having a sport, having a practice that you're doing that's not immediately, like you're just not great at it straight away. It takes time, you've got to work at it, is potentially long term more rewarding, but it's not the instant gratification of scrolling and binge watching and all of that. So yeah, humans are dynamic and we're complex. So I would say to remind yourself, if this happens to you, that you can hold competing emotional states at the same time. And it's okay to feel lost, I suppose, in knowing how to accept them and integrate them. And that's, eventually what it comes down to. So sitting in that hotel room with all the like judgment and shame and all that stuff going on about how I should be having more fun and I should be doing this better, really, the only solution for that in the moment was to just sit and accept it for being there. Accept those parts. Thank them for coming to the party. Because they're not all of you, they're just part of you. They're part of you. And we can, the more we try to shift them and change them and tell them that we shouldn't be having them, the louder those voices tend to come. So sitting back and just accepting for what's coming up for you. I think this happens to lots of people though, where you have the anticipation for what something is going to be like, and then it's like, oh, actually, feeling alone, feeling like alone with your thoughts to rest, which you need, doesn't necessarily always feel good, which is why lots of people avoid resting and they avoid downtime, because it's a lot easier to work or scroll on your phone or find potentially, you know, the more extreme end, find an addiction to reduce your pain. That's what we're trying to do, is avoid pain. So the more that you can lean into acceptance for, it's okay if you're having a hard time being alone, it's okay if you're having a hard time enjoying any experience away from your children that you get. It's part of the paradox of motherhood, I think. Wanting to be alone, the second that you're alone, feeling like it's some sort of competitive sport that you should be doing properly and you're not doing it properly. Yeah, it's hard. It's not something we're going to get right every single time. You just have to show up with loving acceptance for what is there at the moment instead of what you would like to be there. So yes, I would like to show up. It's like when you get a massage sometimes and you would like to show up and be all relaxed and enjoying the moment, but sometimes you're not. Sometimes your thoughts just go to all sorts of places. You can just always come back to your breath, you know. Dan Siegel talks about this wheel of awareness and just being in the moment and realizing, okay, you can't control where your thoughts go. You can't, but you can come back to just focusing on your breathing, focusing on accepting yourself. It's a lifelong practice. Well, I hope you find some time alone for whatever shows up for you in that moment, that you can lean into some compassion and acceptance there. Talk to you next time.